So today I have the wonderful honor of sharing the message with you in worship. It's exciting. I always look forward to opportunities like this. I'm like, can't you go on vacation? No, I'm teasing. I'm not, because I'm always running around here with the kids, and I love that. But it is a great, great opportunity, and I've been looking forward to having this time with you and time of fellowship as we center around, as we huddle around the campfire and talk about the Word of God together. So, and as I was preparing this, I thought instantly of this story about my stepmother. She was an avid kayaker. She loved kayaking, and she'd go crazy deep out in the water all by herself and would paddle along, and the waves would be hitting any type of weather, wind, whatever. She would go kayaking, and I just loved this about her, and her pursuit of her sport was awesome, and she had no fear. And I actually became a kayaker because of her, because she's so awesome. So she was out one day on the north side of Vashon Island, way out sort of in the water between Blake Island and Vashon, and she saw this crazy lady. She was on the beach screaming and waving at her and screaming and waving, having a spaz on the beach. She's like, what is going on? I better go check and see if she's okay. So she paddled to the shore, and when she got there, the lady said, you were out there, and an orca had just jumped and landed right near your kayak, and I was worried that you were going to get flipped. And Mary was like, huh? What? You've got to be kidding me. She was so surprised. She was so surprised. Has that happened to anybody here? You know, just an everyday thing. And another story I want to open with is when I was 24 years old, I moved to the great town in Sun Valley, Idaho, and was the Christian education director of a church there. And this was maybe 4 months after moving there. I had to do their big VBS, which really is a had to because I was super stressed about it. It was like a big thing for the community. Like 160 kids came, and Sun Valley is a small town, so people came from everywhere to go to this VBS. And I was really, really worried. I wanted it to be awesome and perfect because that's the kind of program I wanted to run, and I was super organized and super stressed out. So when Friday hit, I was just spent, completely, completely spent. So I decided, I had a dog at that time, and I decided that Ruth and I would go on an overnight camp out hiking. And so let's see, I have some pictures of Ruth. I'll show you. This is Ruth. I call her my first daughter. She's absolutely precious. She would chase after any ball and swim forever. And she was really, really proud of having more than one ball. As you can see, this is her in Salt Lake City in the snow. She would, in fact, in Sun Valley, she'd go running in the snow. That's Blakely. He loved Ruth, and she was always the best dog ever. We've never had another dog since Ruth, and probably never will. She's absolutely the best dog, and I just can't imagine having another dog. So that's just a little memorial on Ruth. But Ruth and I, best buddies, went up, and we decided we were going to drive west of town in the Ketchum Sun Valley area and drive over Galena Pass down into the valley and over to the Sawtooth Mountains. And I had found a hike in my hiking book that was rated expert. And I was like, oh yeah, that's me. I'm an expert. You know, I just thought that's where I should be. So found the trailhead, parked, got out. I think I had like a little JanSport school backpack, probably left over from college. And I had a power bar in it. No, two power bars. A little baggie with dog food. And I had a sleeping bag that I had under my arm. And I might have had a dog leash. I think I had a dog leash and just almost nothing, really. And I headed out on this trail. And I saw two happy people walking towards me, maybe a mile in. And, you know, I just kept on trudging up the trail. It was late in the day, actually. It was about, I think it was like 4 o'clock or something. And so I went on up, and the trail started turning into these huge boulders, like there was, that went up a hill. And so I started lifting my dog up these boulders, Ruth and I on our trip together. And so we went up, 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 and then followed the trail, and we were thankfully following the trail because it wasn't a well-walked trail, and sometimes I wondered if we were on the trail, but we were on the trail, and we finally landed in this glorious lake up in the mountains, and it was so pretty. So I sat down and ate my power bar, and she had her little food, and we were by this gorgeous lake, and nobody else was in sight. It was absolutely perfect. And then as the night got late, I laid out my sleeping bag, didn't have a tent or anything, laid my sleeping bag out beside the lake and laid down under the stars. It was spectacular. It was perfect, just completely black with these gorgeous, bright, brighter than anywhere, stars shining down on us. And I kind of slept in and out. I wasn't like sleeping real deeply there by myself on the lake, but it was so gorgeous and so peaceful. Until about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, when Ruth went crazy, absolutely crazy. She was barking and freaking out. And I was scared. I was like, oh no, what's there? So I got my toughest voice out and I yelled into the darkness and I commanded whatever it was to go away, and I sounded super tough, and eventually it went away and things got silent. Now I was really on edge after that. I thought, oh dear, what have I done? Nobody knows I'm here. I didn't tell anyone that I'd left. And I was out in the middle of the wilderness by myself, and a wild beast was prowling in the darkness. So anyway, so the morning finally came and it was all good, and I had my second power bar, and Ruth and I went down. But I'll never forget being awoken and being so surprised in the middle of the night by the wild beast that I had no idea about. My idea was of a bear was like something you cuddle with at night, you know, not some danger out there, because I wasn't a hiker really before I moved to Sun Valley. So it was a new experience and it was crazy. And you know, the next year after VBS, after I was so stressed out, I stayed more local for my overnight. It was pretty crazy. So anyway, and another surprise I thought about was last Saturday, I was headed over to the University of Washington, and this is something that we can all relate to. So I was envisioning, and I timed out my trip on Saturday morning to the University of Washington, going 520. Does anyone know what happened last weekend to 520? So driving south, and it said 520 closed, and I was like, oh no! So quickly went into plan B and ended up taking I-90 and made it. But that was a total surprise. Another one is the time that we put, and I'm kind of rambling on this one. I probably could delete it, but it's too fun. Brooke had a birthday party and got this really nice fashion set. And it was a spa set with all this fancy stuff that she could do for her spa, nail stuff. And anyway, it was just pink and super bright. So Blakely was going to a party that night with his friend for his friend's birthday. And so we took everything out of the spa set and put his friend Grant's gift inside of the spa set. And that was another surprise. The guys at the party were like, when he opened it and he found a Star Wars gift inside of the spa set. So we have lots of surprises, unexpected things that happen, both good and not so good. Today we're going to look at some concepts of surprises in the spiritual realm and how God works in unexpected ways. So you're welcome to grab your Bibles. You can get a pew Bible and turn to Acts 11, 1 through 18. And we're going to read through the whole thing this morning. And as I read it, I encourage you to count up all the things that might have been a surprise or seemingly odd to the people in the passage. So seemingly odd or a surprise. Okay, Acts 11:1. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the uncircumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went to the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from the heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in the house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us in the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift that he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, how many surprises did you count? Raise your hand if you were counting. Okay. A few of you. Way to go, star students. I affirm you. So, how many did you count? Raise your fingers, maybe. 10. Okay. My star student says 10. 6. Okay. So, and I counted, and we could all be right, because this is something that we saw that surprised us. I counted 7. And what every single one of them was a great move of God. 1, the Gentiles received the word of God. 2, Peter experienced a vision from God. 3, the vision declared that all food is now clean. 4, a voice in the vision patiently reiterates the message when Peter disagrees with what he sees. Isn't that friendly that he reiterated? That's awesome. 5, that 3 men following God's leading, unannounced and uninvited, show up at the door of the house where he's staying. 6, Peter sees the Spirit of God telling him not to see the differences between the Jews and the Gentiles. And 7, the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles in much the same way that it did on the disciples in Acts 2. That is shocking. That is freaky. Can you imagine? The chosen people of God who have this special word, and God is coming on the Gentiles just as he came on the Jews. This is crazy. This is big. Major changes are happening. Clearly, God moves in unexpected ways. And we see a good measure of different ways here. As we reflect, it seems that it happens often enough that you'd think we would begin to expect God to move like this. But you know, so often we are caught off guard. In fact, this is so common throughout Scripture and in our lives too, that God gets his way in our life. God has an agenda that is not our agenda. And I have to think of the great fellow Paul when I think of this. This is Paul who so surprisingly was persecuting the church, going around and beating up on Christians, hurting them and making them very sad and scared. And then what happens? He sees a light and it's great and it blinds him. And then all of a sudden, he takes a 180 and he is now this person going around sharing the good news, and he's a great father of the church. Even today, this is what our Sunday school kids are studying today, Paul. So they're studying that upstairs. It was freaky and scary for people to accept that Paul's no longer a creep and he's not going to hurt them. Their biggest fear became their ally. Looking at the whole of Scripture, we see that God does some awesome things in all of Scripture. So there's the creation and unspeakable beauty of the earth. Jesus coming as the Messiah. He came to redeem us with his death. The life of Jesus was so unexpected to the Jews. They were waiting for a ruler, someone to come and restore Israel, to bring it back to a mighty kingdom. What they got was so confusing. A great friend, someone who shares a good message, someone who can do amazing miracles, transform lives, heal people. He really was a fabulous public speaker, I'm sure. And his messages were unbelievable. We have them all over the New Testament. The just of hope and transformation and this new word that people received. So Jesus, the King, dying for us and being raised. And when we look in the Old Testament, we can see that Noah, he's another really odd story. He's inland, sort of in the middle of Yakima, and he's building a boat. And he's waiting for rain there with his family. And Joseph, this just startles me so much, that he was abandoned by his brothers and sold into slavery. The crazy thing is instead of wallowing in bitterness, he actually was able to save his family and save a great number of people. It's just so shocking. I just love the story of Hannah, that after infertility, she was able to have a son. What even shocks me more is that she followed through and she gave this child back to the temple when he was weaned. Israel escaping from Egypt was so directed and guided by the merciful Lord as he led the people, fed the people, water from the rock. It's just so surprising. We can see that God's plans are much higher and much greater than any of our plans. Peter was just as shocked as anyone when God opened his love up to the Gentiles. In fact, his response to the meaning of the vision was put into two letters. N-O, no. I imagine that God knew all too well that Peter would do this. He was set in his ways, his tradition, his family, and he was living a predictable lifestyle. But you know, God was persistent and got through to him. The Holy Spirit came to the Gentiles, and people's lives were transformed as people believed. Looking back, this is really revolutionary. For the food purity laws given to the Jewish people, they were not allowed to eat foods that weren't kosher. As a result, they couldn't necessarily share food with the Gentiles. This was God's way of setting his people apart and keeping them holy. Yet this didn't work for the calling that Christians were given in Acts 1, which was to bring the good news to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the earth. So even though that was their command, they never dreamed that this would happen. This rocked their world. The good news of Jesus Christ is for the entire world. God backed up the good news with the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter stepped out in faith and by the power of God. Peter broke down boundaries and did what he was told to do. And God brought many people to faith, despite the scandal of it all. Jews were eating unclean food with Gentiles. They were now one in faith, hope, and love in Christ Jesus. God's love is truly for all people. Something tells me today that God is likely moving in your life. I know God is moving in my life today. God seems to always surprise us and move us in new ways. Maybe it's even in the area of food. You know, it could even be like tough areas of our lives. You know, there's so many areas in my life that I really have to work at that I find really boring, maybe even humdrum, that are not necessarily fun. There are ways that I find my calling in life, my word from the Lord, that this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. It's less than satisfying at times. Yet God continues to unfold his perfect work in me and use me as God would. God has moved in surprising ways here in children's ministry at Rose Hill. For instance, there was a Sunday in the fall of 2014. It was probably the most traumatizing Sunday of my history of being a church leader. I got up to take the kids out, stood here for the kids to come forward, because that's what we did then, and the only four children that came up were mine. Four kids, Blakely, Haley, Brooke, and Elliot. I was mortified, awkward, and embarrassed. It was a bad surprise. A really bad thing happened. So the church had just led me to take this position a couple of months before, and nobody showed up. On those days early on, I was always greatly relieved when I'd see the Pipples in church, the Moorheads, or the Taylors. Because then I thought, oh, my kids won't be the only ones. It was stressful and awkward. Yet I prayed and trusted God, and I asked other people to pray. And I tried not to internalize it, too. I tried not to say, Gwen, you are a failure. I tried not to believe that. I tried to just try to see beyond my circumstances and trust God and really pray. And I know other people were praying, too. And now, as I wrote this sermon, I could think of 10 families that have made Rose Hill their church home. And in many ways, these families have become my dearest friends, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for every one of them. I'm really humbled as I reflect upon the pain and the lonely start that I had in children's ministry, and that God has brought community here in our midst. It's been a miracle, really. It's been a complete miracle. And God continues to work in surprising ways. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, too, that I wasn't just abandoned and alone in those first months. Charlotte Grant, Jeannie Hirschbarger, Janet Hargett, and Bud Vanderaw, they stuck with me. I'm so thankful. They could have gone and done their own thing and chose to serve in a new way. But I had such a gift that they stayed with me and walked with me in those days, because literally you cannot do any ministry alone. It takes community. And, you know, God has brought us a lot more folks since then to help out. And I'm thankful for every one of them. It's humbling to do this work of God. It's scary, it's awkward, it's embarrassing, it's humiliating in so many levels, but it's humbling, and I really do not take anything for granted, because it's all the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. Looking outside of our local church here in Kirkland, we see that there's people for us to reach all over the world. You know, sometimes they're just so geographically inconvenient. Recently, I've been looking into the ministry of LifeWater. The Vacation Bible School program raised $411 for LifeWater this last week. So I was so impressed with them, because they bring wells into communities as well as the gospel and hygiene training. And they create those wells out of sustaining product that they can fix. And they have a well committee, so the wells aren't going to break, and then they won't be able to fix them. And that's really inspiring. And I cannot fathom what it would be like to grow up in a community without well and without a water that was clean. So what inspires you, people? What inspires you? Perhaps surprisingly, to make a difference in the world for the cause of Jesus Christ. How is the Holy Spirit working on you? There are people out there who scare us and give us the creeps, who we want to avoid at all costs. Maybe there are even people that are close to us, like family members or church members, who knows? But we can realize that God can use us, and just like that crazy middle of the night wake up call that Ruth and I got out in the woods, or Mary kayaking with an orca right next to us, God can just wake us up, change us, humble us, transform us, and enable us to go in a new direction in ministry. Our lives can get awakened. We can serve with new energy and vision. So keep an open heart to God, friends. Maybe God will even surprise you and remove barriers or rules that you heartily follow to serve those people. Like Peter, may our lives draw us to eat with those whom Christ leads us to eat with. May our lives lead us to reach out to people who are different from us, realizing that the gospel is truly for all people. May our faith sustain us as we step out and do things with fear and trembling. May we be willing to fail, be embarrassed, step out and break from our friends if needed. And let's even possibly envision that possibly we could live recklessly before the Lord and trust Him as He leads us in very surprising ways. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy. We thank you for surprising us, and we're humbled by your many surprises. We're humbled, and we don't take anything for granted. You are a great God, and we walk with you. We pray that you will be speaking to us about what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be serving, what your plan is for us, God. We pray we won't miss it with our selfish desires or with pride or other things that we could chase after, Lord. We thank you that you are with us, and we pray you'll give us ears to hear what your word is for our families, for our community, for our lives, for our ministry. And we thank you that you have not forgotten us, and that you are including people from all over the world in your vision. And now we're going to take a moment to pray for the offering. Lord, we pray for the offering. We pray that you will bless this church, bless the ministries throughout the world that are touched by this church. And we celebrate you and thank you for this opportunity. And we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.